Sunday Mornings with Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz, a series that we're running this fall and winter. This is the second shiur that Rabbi Leibowitz is sharing with us, and this is dedicated in memory of Cecile Dolphin, Zichrona Livracha, by Tracy and Joey Goldstein and his family. It's a pleasure to ask Rabbi Leibowitz to share his Torah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rabbi Maskin. Good morning, everybody, and I hope everyone is doing well. In the time that has passed since the last year that we had in this series that we're doing of Rav Moshe Feinstein and his halachic adversaries, unfortunately, we lost one of the a couple of great Torah leaders, but particularly as it relates to this year, one of the Torah giants of our time, Rav Moshe's oldest son, Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And therefore, I thought it would be appropriate to take this opportunity of this shiur, and instead of discussing Rav Moshe Feinstein and his halachic adversaries, which we're going to continue Be'ezras Hashem next month, to take one shiur and instead discuss Rav Moshe Feinstein and his greatest halachic ally. Rav Moshe's greatest halachic ally was undoubtedly his son Rav David, and I thought it would be appropriate to look at some of the tshuvos where Rav Moshe talks to Rav David or quotes Rav David. See, Rav Moshe doesn't quote a whole lot of achronim in general. He quotes the major achronim. He'll quote the Nodeb Yehuda. He'll quote the Chasam Sofer, Rav Shlomo Kluger, the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, but he certainly does not quote contemporary achronim. Last time we pointed out that Rav Moshe never quotes Rav Avadi Yosef even in all of his tshuvas, to the point that I even questioned if they ever met each other. Thank God after that shiur I got lots of feedback from people sending me pictures of Rav Moshe with Rav Avadi Yosef and stories of Rav Moshe and Rav Avadi Yosef talking, you know, to each other and about each other, so we can set the record straight. Rav Moshe absolutely did meet Rav Avadi Yosef and had great respect for him, but he never quoted him. He never he invited him to say shiur in MTJ, but he said to him, I'm inviting you to say shiur in MTJ, but not as a Rosh Yeshiva or as a Rav, because then there are a million Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim, and I would have to invite everybody to say shiur in MTJ. I'm inviting you as the author of Yabia Omer, because there's only one author of Yabia Omer, and only one person on earth that can author Yabia Omer. So that's that's the credentials by which you're being invited. But I thought that if Rav Moshe quotes Rav David all the time in his tshuvos, that's quite a compliment. Granted, it was family, but still, it's quite a compliment to quote Rav David and his Chidushim and his Ha'aros, which come up throughout Igros Moshe. So let's talk a little bit about Rav David, and then we'll go through some of the halachic issues that Rav Moshe quotes Rav David on. Rav David, who recently passed away, as I mentioned before, was Rav Moshe's greatest halachic ally. Now, halachic ally does not mean necessarily that he always agreed with his father, though he almost always did, but it means a couple of other things, at least in my mind. First and foremost, Rav David was the greatest address to clarify what his father said. I could recall many occasions where sitting with Rav Schechter, and Rav Schechter gets a very serious shaila, and it boils down to how to understand the tshuva in the Igros Moshe, and Rav Schechter would tell us, this has to go to Rav David. Only Rav David can clarify this for us. Rav David was the most trusted source on what Rav Moshe held. He was a Talmud Muvhak of his father in the fullest sense. The way that it worked, as we learned through the Hespedim that were given for Rav David, was that he would learn on his own, and whatever questions he had, whatever sveikos that he needed to be mevarer, that he needed to clarify, he would go and he would ask his father. Lo zaz yado mitoch yado. He never moved from his father. He never had another Rebbe. The closest he ever had to another Rebbe was his cousin Rav Michal Feinstein. But that was it. Outside of the family, he certainly never had another Rebbe. It was like learning with Rav David, one of the Maspidim described, was like learning with someone who had a perush of the Igros Moshe on Shas, because Rav David had been through the entirety of Shas with Rav Moshe. And perhaps it was the fact that he spent so much time with family that that caused him to prioritize family over all else. It was well known that of the Gedolei Torah in America that attended Rav Soloveitchik's Haskara in Yeshiva University, it was Rav David and Rav Reuven Feinstein, and unfortunately not too many other Gedolei Torah from the broader Torah community, right? Because Rav Soloveitchik was not only a Torah giant but also a cousin, and no matter how controversial an opinion someone from the family may express, no matter how prominent they may be in their own right and have the right to express such an opinion, no matter how controversial an opinion, and no matter how much Rav David may have disagreed with the opinion, you never heard a critical word from Rav David, never about family. In the Hamodia article that they published about Rav David, they write that there was a grand nephew who had some sort of major medical shaila. Rav David received a lot of medical shailas, and he really needed to speak to Rav David. Rav David wasn't feeling well, and he had a fever, and he was resting, and he wasn't taking any shailas that day. But since he was family, you know, someone reached out and said, "Look, it's your grand nephew." So since he was family, Rav David welcomed the person into his apartment. However, when the person started asking the shaila, he said, I need to ask the Rosh Yeshiva a shaila. Rav David said, the Rosh Yeshiva is not feeling well. The Rosh Yeshiva has a fever. The Rosh Yeshiva is not taking shailas. Only Uncle David is taking shailas today. You're here because you're my nephew. Only Uncle David is taking shailas today." And he refused to answer the shaila till his nephew called him Uncle David. As long as he referred to him as Rosh Yeshiva, he wanted to make it clear, this is for family, that family is always going to have a higher priority than everybody else. Only Uncle David was willing to take shailas that day. Rav David was the solid hand that led after his father's generation. I mean, Rav Moshe had extraordinary creativity. As we've discussed in this year, Rav Shechter has pointed out many times that people often think that Rav Soloveitchik, being the father of modern Orthodoxy, must have been so much more revolutionary and creative in his approach to halacha. Rav Shechter said Rav Soloveitchik was very traditional in his approach to halacha. Rav Moshe, a chiddush on every page. He was very creative, extraordinarily creative in his approach to halacha. And Rav Shechter pointed out to us that he, even before Rav David passed away, that when we were learning about the parsha about Avram and Yitzchak, Rav Shechter pointed out that Yitzchak does not do much on his own. What he does is he redoes that which his father had done, and that it's very important sometimes when you have a Torah giant, a Torah leader, who is unusually creative, that the next generation be this solid hand, be very straightforward. Because if you have another generation of too much creativity, you may lose the message of the previous generation. And that was the role. The Yitzchak Avinu role is the role that Rav David played in terms of bringing Rav Moshe into the next generation and bring Rav Moshe's tshuvos and Rav Moshe's shitos into the next generation. Now, throughout Igros Moshe and also in Dibros Moshe, we do find that Rav Moshe quotes Bni Hagon Rav David Shlita. He always refers to his son Bni Hagon Rav David Shlita. There's one exception where he does not refer to his son as Hagon Rav David Shlita. He says Bni David Nero Yair, and it's a little bit strange. You look at the tshuva, why doesn't he call him? Rav Moshe had a habit that any Orthodox rabbi he would refer to as Harav Hagon. He would always refer to with very nice honorifics. So why is it that when he referred to Rav David in one tshuva, he refers to him as Bini David Nero Yair? No title at all. Not Harav, not Shlita, just Nero Yair. And he's quoting that Rav David had showed him a comment of the Marsha that helps elaborate a complicated sugya in Erevin and really impacted something that he was thinking about, a shaila that he was thinking about. Why didn't he call him by his title? And then you look at the date on that tshuva. The date on that tshuva where he quotes Bini David Nero Yair was 1940. Rav David was born in 1929. So Rav David apparently had made this ha'ara to Rav Moshe, had pointed this marsha out to Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe saw worthy of quoting in Igros Moshe when Rav David was 11 years old. So Rav Moshe, quoting his 11-year-old son, did not yet refer to him as Bini Hagon Rav David Shlita. He referred to him as David Nero Yair. By the time he was in his 20s and 30s, then he was already Bini Hagon Rav David Shlita. But just unbelievable that as an 11-year-old, he was already at such a madrega where he was pointing out certain marimakomos to his father that apparently even Rav Moshe Feinstein was unaware of. Now, just a very, very brief biography of Rav David, because that's not really the purpose of this this shiur. Rav David was born in Russia. Rav Moshe was the Rav in Luban at the time, and he was he moved to America when he was 8 years old. There are some conflicting reports about what Rav David did or did not know as an 8 year old. Some suggested that Rav David knew almost nothing because Rav Moshe was afraid to teach his children Torah because there could be severe repercussions by the Russian government if he teaches his children Torah. Rav Moshe just had to learn by himself up in an attic somewhere and write and was just doing his thing. But Rav David, according to one way I heard it from someone close with the family, he knew Aleph Beis when they came to America when he was 8 years old. Now, mind you, by the time he was 11, he was pointing out Marshas to his father that are quoted in Igros Moshe. But one version I heard is that he knew almost nothing. Another version I heard is that he knew Tanakh really well, but that's it. No exposure at that point to anything really beyond Tanakh. But he immediately flourished. And Rav Moshe moved to America because he knew he needed to be mechanich his children and that it wasn't going to work as in the current climate and conditions that he was living under in Luban. Rav David was most known for his humility. When we asked Moreno Rav Shechter Shlita recently what his recollections were of Rav David, he said Rav David's anivus was mugzam. You know, it's like almost an exaggeration that's hard to believe that someone could be that humble. It's not that he ran away from kavod. He didn't even know what kavod was. It didn't mean anything to him. It didn't, you know, people like kavod. Everyone likes kavod. It didn't mean anything to him. The accounts of his complete sense of bittul of himself are absolutely astounding. He never wanted to sit in front of the Beis Medrash. In MTJ, it was known he would be the one to refill the soda machines in yeshiva. Someone told me a story that Rav David was invited to speak to a convention, not to speak. He was not much of a speaker, but he was invited to a particular convention, and he was obviously the person who picked him up started informing him, "You're going to sit on the dais next to this Rosh Yeshiva and that Rosh Yeshiva," telling him who he's going to be sitting with. And Rav David said, "Oh no." And the person said, "What? You have a problem with this Rosh Yeshiva, that Rosh Yeshiva?" Rav David never spoke a word of Lashon Hara. What could be your problem? And Rav David said, No, it's not that. I bought a ticket. I didn't realize that I can come for free." The level of a lack of sense, of an entire lack of sense of he would be treated special is just unbelievable. He never responded to any bizyonos. His manner of dress was just very plain, very regular, no rabbinic garb. His reticence to speak publicly, even in eulogizing his own father, he didn't give a hesped from Moshe because he said, "Rav Reuven is a better speaker than me. Why should I be the one to eulogize? Rav Reuven is a more powerful speaker. Mistama, he will be able to cause people to cry and to fulfill the function of a hesped." And as his reputation grew, people started to flock to the Lower East Side for shilos for sure, but also for brachos, which again is not normally in the comfortable wheelhouse of a litvish rav. Normally, that's more for chassidus rabbanim. But we do have a tradition that even a bracha of a hedyot is valuable, should not be taken lightly. Certainly, the bracha of a tzaddik and a gadol should be taken very, very seriously. And people with all sorts of problems would come to the Lower East Side. He was always available. You could just walk in and talk to him. A fellow in my shul told me that that he used to go all the time. He said that I never knew this fellow. Never told me this before. He said at least 15 times he just went to the Lower East Side, walked into the Beis Medrash, sat down with Rav David for like an hour. You couldn't get him on the phone, but to walk in and talk to him, that was very easy. Anyone could just walk in and have a conversation with him and learning, very very unassuming. So the story goes that one of the published Hespedim, they said that there was a woman who had two miscarriages and had not yet had a healthy child, and she came to Rav David for a bracha. And Rav David said, "It seems to me that the Ribbono Shel Olam owes you three, that he owes you three children." And that year she had triplets that were born. So she wanted to show Hakaras HaTov. So she lived in Williamsburg. She slept all of her triplets with a triple stroller on a train. train to go to pre-COVID, obviously, on a train to go to Rav David to visit him to Shah Karasatov, and you know it's a schlep, and kids can get kvetchy, and she was, and it's not easy to handle triplets. I don't know where the husband was, but she was, you know, she was juggling these three babies, and Rav David saw this harried mother with three triplets, and he looks right at her, and he says, aren't you glad I didn't say five? Aren't you glad I didn't say five, that I only said three? He was a very unassuming person. He was a halachic giant. He didn't publish much, meaning he published things that were much more light in, you know, about gematrios and things like that. He didn't write tshuvos at all, but they say that he was always writing when he was learning, that he has short ha'aros and shas, which I have no doubt the family will work on and will be published eventually. But as far as the complicated shilos of the day, he was the final word. When nobody could resolve an issue, the end was always to go to Rav David. When American Poskim had to figure out the ribbis problems associated with Quicken Loans, and we realize that half the Frum community has mortgages with Quicken Loans, and it's owned by a Jew, and that's a major ribbis problem, it was Rav David who had to be the one that was the final word on how to properly deal with that issue. And these kinds of issues were the kinds of things that Rav David dealt with. So I want to just, not with the time remaining, I realize I used half of my time, more than half of my time already, but with the time remaining, I want to just go through maybe one or two tshuvas in Igros Moshe, where Rav Moshe looks for support from Rav David Feinstein. It's most rare for Rav Moshe to quote any contemporary, but B'ni Hagon Rav David Shlita comes up many times. So first, let's take a look, probably in the tshuva that could have been written by Rav David Feinstein, in Igros Moshe, Evne Ezer Chelek Aleph, Simin Tzadihe, because this is the only tshuva that I found where Rav Moshe quotes three different comments of Rav David and almost nothing of his own in this tshuva. It's as if Rav Moshe had a conversation with Rav David and said, Rav David, these are good ideas. And he wrote down all of Rav David's ideas, and that was it. It was almost nothing from Rav Moshe himself. What was the issue? So the issue related to Sheva Brachos on the night of the Seder. What if a couple got married within a week before Pesach? So they have a Sheva Brachos meal. You have a minyan at the Seder. So you have a Sheva Brachos meal with a chasen and kala on the night of the Seder. How do you do the benching with the seven brachos? Right? Normally you have a separate kos, but you're only supposed to have four kosos on the night of the Seder. So where does that extra kos come in to do the Sheva Brachos? This was the shaila that Rav Moshe was asked about. Rav Moshe said that Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes that all seven brachos should be recited on the kos of Birchas Hamazon, not to have an extra kos, because some Rishonim hold that you're never really supposed to have an extra Sheva Brachos kos. So on Pesach, where there's an Isser to add more kosos, where you're only allowed to have four kosos, we should rely on those Rishonim that say that that you should not use an extra kos and just use the same Birchas Hamazon kos for all the Sheva Brachos. In fact, Rav Moshe writes that it's strange that the Rama in Darkei Moshe in Aruch Chaim Siman Tafayim Gimel Os Dalid says to recite Birchas Hamazon al kos shelo and then Sheva Brachos al kos shel chasan. The Rama apparently writes in Darkei Moshe not like Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. He says whoever's benching should bench on his own kos, and then the chasan who's at the table has his own kos, because everyone at the table has their own kos. The chasan's kos should be the one that the seven brachos, that the Sheva Brachos are recited on. Because Rav Moshe said that's difficult to understand, though, because presumably if the problem is that you're not allowed to put two different kedushos, two different mitzvos on the same kos, so you can't have benching and Sheva Brachos on the same kos, that same problem exists with the kos of the chasan. Meaning when everyone has a kos around the table on the night of the Seder, everyone has a kos shel Birchas Hamazon. So that kos, that third kos that we have at the Seder, is a kos of benching. So why would it help to have the chasan recite the Sheva Brachos on his kos? It already is a kos of Birchas Hamazon. There should be no advantage in saying Sheva Brachos on the kos shel chasan, since his kos is as much a kos shel bracha as the kos of the mevarich. So if you want to split the kos shel bracha from the kos of the Sheva Brachos, it doesn't help to use the chasan's kos. This is Rav Moshe's kasha, that he doesn't understand this Ramah. But, he says, since the Rama says it, we should follow this practice. And then he said, I never understood this Rama, but Ubni Harav Rav David Shlita, Omar Tam Nachon. But then my son Rav David gave me a good explanation for this Rama. What was Rav David's explanation? Shekevon Shemidin Kos Lebracha Hayasagi Gambel El Pesach Bekos Shal Mevarich Levado. Rav David said, wait, take a step back. Whenever you bench ala kos, if you have the practice to bench ala kos, to use a kos for birchas hamazon, whether we should have that practice and why we don't have that practice, a discussion for a different time. Simple reading of Shulchan Aruch is that we should have that practice. Overwhelming minug seems to be that people do not always have that practice to bench ala kos, a discussion for a different time. But when you have, if you've ever had a meal where someone benches with a kos, there's only one kos. It's only the one who's leading benching. Why is it that at the Seder everyone has a kos of Birchas HaMazon? So says Rav David, that has nothing to do with the Birchas HaMazon. The fact that everyone has a kos of Birchas HaMazon is just because, as a matter of fact, everyone needs to drink four kosos. So we try to associate whatever kos you have with a mitzvah that relates to that night. So who's to stop the chassan from saying, you know what, I will have four kosos, but I don't need this kos that I'm having now, my third kos, to count as a birchas hamazon kos. Let the guy who's leading benching, his kos will be the birchas hamazon kos. My kos will be the Sheva Brachos kos. There's nothing that determines that everybody's kos must be a Birchas HaMazon kos. There are two dinim. There's a din that you have a kos of Birchas HaMazon, and there's a din that everybody has to drink four kosos. So usually we overlap the two and we say, okay, when everybody drinks the four kosos, they're all drinking a kos of Birchas HaMazon. But says Rav David, it doesn't have to be that way. It could be that the chassan can determine that he wants the mitzvah that's associated with his kos to be the Sheva Brachos. And that is the explanation of the Rama. The Pischei Tshuva quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Emdin that you could say Sheva Brachos on a separate kos. Now, a third possibility, we said so far two possibilities. One is that the kos that is being used for Birchas HaMazon, you should just say all Sheva Brachos on that same kos and not split it up among two separate kosos. Then we have the second possibility, what the Rama says, that the guy leading the benching will say Birchas HaMazon in his kos, and they'll use the chassan's kos for the Sheva Brachos. A third possibility, maybe you could take a separate kos, pour a separate kos, use that for the Sheva Brachos, and then leave that over for the kos revi'i, for the fourth kos of the night. Why would that be any better? Because if you will still be saying Shtei Kedushos on a single kos, it would seem not to solve any problems, because after all, the fourth kos also has something associated with it. We say Hallel on the fourth kos. So why does it help to leave it over for the fourth kos? You can't say Sheva Brachos and Hallel on the same kos, the same way we have a problem with saying benching and Sheva Brachos on the same kos. So says Rav Moshe, Achbazeh Yafa Amar Bini Harav Rav David Shlita. He says Rav David pointed out that really depends on a machlokas between Rashi and the Rashbam against Tosfos in Maseches Pesachim. Pesachim, which the Daf Yomi started just a week ago, and Be'ezras Hashem will be finishing in time for Pesach. I have to give a Daf Yomi plug. That's it's like part of the job. But Pesachim, which we just started recently, so there's a machlokas all the way at the end of Pesachim, almost all the way at the end of Pesachim, and Daf Kuf Beis, which we'll be learning a few weeks before Pesach. The Gemara over there says, at least the way Rashi and the Rashbam understand it, that you should, that if your Seder night is Motsa'i Shabbos, you should say Havdalah on the second of the four kosos. Apparently because the concern of having two separate mitzvos on a single kos does not apply to the second kos. The second kos is the kos of the Haggadah, of the Bracha of Ga'al Yisrael. So apparently Rabbi Yaakov Emdin holds that just like it won't apply to the second kos, the Isra of having two Kedushos on one kos doesn't apply to the second kos, it also does not apply to the fourth kos. And this is remarkable. This is where Rav Moshe then says, and I have another family member that I need to quote. He quotes his son-in-law, not Rav Moshe David Tendler, Shlita, who should continue to live and be well in good health, Be'ezras Hashem, but his other son-in-law, Rav Eliyahu Moshe Shiskal. Rav Eliyahu Moshe Shiskal was a Gaon Adir. He was an unbelievable Torah genius. He unfortunately died at a very young age. But Rav Moshe, in fact, very often people ask, I get questions from young men that, you know, I'm dating a girl, but she has the same name as my mother, or a young woman, I'm dating a boy, but he has the same name as my father, or a similar name to my father. Is that a problem? Should I say no to the shidduch? Because, you know, my father's name is Yaakov Moshe, and the boy that I'm dating, his name is, I don't know, Moshe David. So is that a problem? You know, or sometimes even if it's less similar than that, they'll ask the question. So I'll often say, look, I know there's Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid that says you're not supposed to do this, but all I know is that Rav Moshe Feinstein had two sons-in-law, Moshe David Tendler and Eliyahu Moshe Shiska. So I assume that he was somewhat selective in his, you know, in who became his son-in-law. They were both Moshe. So I don't know what the logic is, but I do know that we have a Maisa Rav, a pretty significant Maisa Rav to rely on. There's a tshuva in the Nodeb Yehuda where the Nodeb Yehuda says, you know, people ask all these kinds of questions. If the name doesn't match up, he says, you know, the Gemara says you're not supposed to marry an Amma Aretz, nor the and a boy shouldn't marry the daughter of an Am Aretz. He says, I'm still waiting for someone to ask that question. No one seems to be worried about marrying an Am Aretz. Everyone's just worried about the names. He said, I'd much prefer the other question. Anyway, so Rav Moshe quotes Rav Elio Moshe Shiskal, who explained that the purpose of the second and the fourth kosos is not really for the Haggadah and the Hallel. The Haggadah and the Hallel don't really need a kos. It's just that once you need to drink four kosos, derecherus, so they had to associate something with each of the kosos. Kiddush always gets a kos. Benching always gets a kos. Since when does Hallel get a kos? Since when does a mitzvah like Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim get a kos? That's just because we needed something to attach it to. And therefore, if you're going to say the Sheva Brachos on a kos, better to say it on the fourth kos than the third, because the third is already a kos shel birchas hamazon. So that's how Rav Shiskal and Rav David teamed up to explain this shita of the Ramah. Tosos, however, disagrees, and Tosos says that even on Haggadah shel Pesach and Ga'al Yisrael, the kos of Haggadah, you're not allowed to say shtei kedushos, and therefore Tosos would probably say that there's no benefit in taking the Shavar Brachos and using that kos for the fourth kos, because Tosos would hold that that's a violation as well. So that was how Rav Moshe quoted Rav David in that context. Now, there is a little more detail to the tshuva, but I already feel I've been a little too technical. I don't want to get even more technical, but there is a little more detail to the tshuva where Rav Moshe then quotes Rav David again. And the end of the tshuva is a kasha that Rav David has, and Rav Moshe says, I'm not sure. Tzarich iyun. He's not sure how to answer Rav David's kasha. This is the kind of give and take, the kind of father-son relationship that Rav Moshe and Rav David had. They mamish learned kol ha-Torah kula together. I was trying to think of a parallel in modern times of a father-son relationship where you had the bond was the entirety of Torah. And the only other example I know of, I'm sure there are many, but the only one that comes to mind of a person whose only Rebbe was his father, and he really, like the Torah says, to be melamidus b'neichem, to teach your children Torah, and took it to that extent where the father taught the child the entirety of Torah, was Rav Soloveitchik and his father. Rav Soloveitchik's only chavrusa, his only Rebbe, really, I mean, he had Rav Chaim Heller, you know, to ask questions to and to talk to and learning, but his only real Rebbe in his formative years after his melamid from Chaslavich was his father of Moshe. Once Rav Chaim told Rav Moshe Soloveitchik to pull him out of the Chabad Cheder and to learn with him one-on-one, Rav Soloveitchik learned with his father Yomam V'Laila for over a decade, Kala Torah Kula. So that's the only parallel. It's such a rare and unique and special thing that we had this clear passing on of a Mesorah from one generation to the next. Ashrei Einayim Shekach Ro'os. We are fortunate to have seen such a relationship and to have benefited from these Torah giants. Be'ezras Hashem, when I see you again next month, we'll go back to our regular schedule of discussing Rav Moshe and his halachic adversaries, but I just thought it was worthwhile to take one session and instead discuss Rav Moshe and his greatest halachic ally, Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Yehi Zichro Baruch. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're looking forward to next month.
Thank you very much.
Okay. You too. Everybody should have a wonderful day.